ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Nosebleeds. I'm Alex Diaz, joined today by George Skifatakis and Derek Bolu. We have a lot to talk about: the Yankees in the AL East, the Mets in their upcoming series with the Mariners, and then we'll chat about the Padres and Dodgers. But first, let's check in with you guys. How are you both doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm currently in Barbados and locked in filming an episode of Nosebleeds.
He's in Barbados, and I'm stuck in at home, and I'm not doing anything special, and he's at the beach. There.
Look, I'm in New Jersey, so does it get worse than that? All right, we'll jump on in. Just something to talk about: Jen Powell became the first female Major League Baseball umpire when she debuted on August 9th in a doubleheader between the Marlins and the Braves. For those two games, she was in the field. The next day, she was behind the plate. A little bit more on her: she played Division I softball at Hofstra. She played professional softball, and then she began her professional umpiring career in rookie ball in 2016. But by 2023, she reached AAA and was the first female umpire at that level in 34 years. In 2024, she umpired in spring training. That year, she was a AAA crew chief. This year, she worked some more spring training games, and now she's back in AAA. She called over about 1,200 games in the minors. Her umpire scorecard for this game, she had a 93% overall accuracy, which I think was 1% less than league average. But for her first game in the majors, I don't think that's terrible. What do you guys think about how she did? Where does she go for here? Derek, if you want to start.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she did really well, especially for her first game, not just behind the plate, but also just in the field. I think it's really good to see more women representation, especially in sports, especially in baseball, when you don't see a ton of that. You don't see a ton of women GMs or other, like, manager or other positions. So I think it's really good to see her being the first and opening the door for other people. And I thought she had a really good game. I saw online her first call wasn't great. That first pitch that she called wasn't necessarily super close, even though she called it a strike. But after that, she kind of locked in. How about an average game, which is good, especially for her first game. I'm sure she had some nerves there, especially with all the internet presence that she was having. But definitely a good game. Nothing horrible happened, so you can say it's a good game for her. And I think it's really good that she opened that door for a lot of people.
Yeah, I completely agree with Derek. And having someone trailblaze in a sport like baseball is very important, because baseball is a sport where you don't see much progression. The most progression we've seen in baseball has been a pitch clock, and that's not really a super progressive, as similar to basketball or football, where they have women in a bunch of different positions, the coaching staffs, reffing games. It took a while for this change to come to baseball, but it's a very, very, very positive change and trends in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I think we'll definitely see her back at the majors at some point. Let's head on over to New York, the Yankees, of course. I don't know if you could say they've turned it around this week. Maybe it's because they played the Twins for two games that they got two wins, but they dropped two to the Astros over the weekend. Of course, like I said, they won the two against the Twins. Looking forward, they'll go to St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. From there, they'll head to Tampa to play the Rays. All in all, the Yankees have kind of been a bit all over the place. We've seen better starts from Will Warren. He gave them 6 2/3 on Monday. Carlos Rodon tossed 7. On Tuesday, both to secure wins. But if you look at some other pitchers, Max Fried has still struggled a bit. Luis Gil's still trying to get back to form. And Cam Schittler's had his up and downs to begin his major league career. But I kind of think he's begun to look more like a major league pitcher, even though it feels like the Yankees kind of have him on a shorter leash. On the offensive side, the Yankees have allowed Stanton to play in the outfield in order to get his bat in the lineup. That has really paid off. Aaron Judge has been back a little bit back to form. He had a little bit of a down period there, but altogether this team's coming back. We've seen Volpe show hints of who the front office really thinks he is, which is huge for that. And then Ben Rice is showing why he should probably be in this lineup every day. But I'd love to get your guys' thoughts. George, if you want to start.
Being from Brooklyn, I grew up a Yankees fan, and looking at this team makes me want to throw up. it's utter debauchery. The bullpen looks like my fifth grade little league team. And I just can't get behind some of the decisions Aaron Boone is making, especially with allowing Giancarlo Stanton to play the field. I believe that he, if anything, he should ride the bench and have Judge DH over him. I've also never been a Giancarlo Stanton fan. Watching he's a true three outcome player. It's either a walk, a hit, it's either a walk, a home run, or a strikeout. There's absolutely no in between with him. His batting average has never been beautiful. His on-base percentage has never been anything to write home about, and it's not something I've never ever enjoyed. Like, yes, he had two good seasons with the Mariners. He had a couple solid years with the Yankees, but whenever you see a highlight, the next at bat is detrimentally low. And I just can never get behind Giancarlo Stanton, especially in the field where he looks like my 75-year-old grandma trying to run to a fly ball. It's Aaron Boone needs to go, Cashman needs to go. They need to figure out what's going on with the bullpen, and they need to work on player development because, other than Lombard and Nolan Jones, there hasn't been much pitching in. There is essentially no pitching in the minors for the Yankees. It's really just Nolan Jones and George Lombard, shortstop and an outfielder. It's not really much going on there, and the Yankees really, I think, not a full breakdown and build back, but they need to make some serious changes. I think you take a wild card spot this year and then figure out how to get back to the top of the division next year.
That was a lot of hot takes that I don't know if I agree with completely. That was a lot that I have to break down.
I can't stand this team. I need to see a lot of things fixed. It's horrible. I can't with this team.
The Stanton hate after his 2024 playoff run is crazy. The Stanton hate that I'm
He
seeing.
has 3 good weeks and then 9 weeks of horrible baseball.
He's batting 300 right now.
He's back 300 with a limited sample size. He's been back for like a month.
Yeah, and he's batting 300. I'll take
That's
it.
1 month of baseball. That's a
I'd
couple weeks
rather.
of baseball. That's you have the All-Star break, which is a week and a half off. That's 3.5 weeks of baseball. That's not enough for me to prove anything.
I don't think it proves anything, but I think it proves that he needs to have his bat in the lineup. At least now, while he's playing hot, so I see why Boone put him in the
But
outfield.
are you okay with him in the field? With the Yankees and their detrimental defense. Their defense is disgusting.
I think
You have
putting him in
Anthony
right
Volpe making
field.
13 errors a game.
I think putting him in right field isn't horrible because most of the problems that the Yankees have been infield problems with Volpe at short making a lot of errors
Jason
and he's
Dominguez.
sloppy. Dominguez hasn't been playing a lot. Left field is not great for Yankee Stadium, and I think he needs a lot more time over there, a lot more development. I don't think putting Stanton in right is a huge detriment, especially, I mean, Judge is pretty good out there and right for defense, but obviously he can't play at the moment. But
Call up Spencer Jones. Put him in right.
the Yankees have been working on development, as you said. I think, I don't know,
There's no
Spencer
pitching
Strzemski
development.
moving
The pitching
on.
development is brutal. There's
I agree with that. The pitch. I mean, the Yankees have always been good with taking random pitchers that struggle for in the majors and making them better, but their own
We
development
saw that
hasn't
with
been
Greg Bird. Not Greg Bird. Jake Bird. I miss Greg Bird. But
good.
Jake Bird.
Greg Bird's a little different, but I mean, yeah, Jake Bird. Yeah, I don't know what's happening with him at the moment, but I mean, I know he's in the minors, but that was a big deadline thing that just now he's in the minors, but.
Yeah, I think the biggest dream for him was that they just get control out of him so you could develop him more into something. I'm not really worried about Stanton in right field when we have quite a few ground ball pitchers. You're not going to see Stanton in the outfield every day, of course, when Judge comes back. Jason Dominguez is, I don't know. If I'm being honest, I have said Jason Dominguez was going to be a bust since we signed him because I think he's going to turn out like Gary Sanchez. And I hate to say it, like he's going to have a few good years. Offensively, I still think he's got a lot to learn about playing at the major league level, but I don't think Stanton in the outfield is the biggest issue with this team right now. I think their bullpen is a bit of a mess, unfortunately, and it's crazy to think that we have like four closers and we can't figure out a way for our bullpen not to blow games. That's a bit absurd to me, but I feel like could this just been we have a down July like we do every single year for whatever reason? Or is this something that is going to continue to grow and continue to be a problem down the stretch, which I hope not, but you never know with this team.
I don't know why the AL East decided to have the most random, like the blue. What are the Blue Jays doing? The Blue Jays were never supposed to be good this year.
I think they just got random production from a ton of random pieces, and they just they've
Someone has to tell me who Addison Barger is and why he looks like the best player in the world.
the Blue Jays
Bernie
thing is crazy.
Clemente.
Yeah, the Blue Jays thing is crazy because it, when I was looking at it, all of the players they added, all of their trade deadline moves, their offseason moves, haven't done anything. It's the same guys who are on the team last year. It just seems like they decided to show up to the ballpark this year and like actually play meaningful baseball. Which I hate as a Yankees fan because I don't like the Blue Jays ever. Like I don't want to see them do good. But that's been it's been a bit crazy. You see, like Bo Bichette has had a huge turnaround last year, hitting like 225 this year, 297. His OPS and OPS plus are both up. So that's been a really big turnaround for them. But it really is interesting that it's the same. I think there's like eight players who were on the team last year and this year, and they had at least 100 plate appearances each year. And all of them are hitting significantly better. So I don't know if it's just, did they figure something out internally, or is it just they're playing a lot better than they are, than they were last year?
Like the Blue Jays confuse me, because they have a long track record of completely exploding when October comes around. They just forget how to play baseball. It's been like that since I think like 2015, back when Troy Tulowitzki was traded to them at the deadline. They just don't know how to play playoff baseball. So I don't expect them to do much in when it comes to crunch time, but they figured something out. But I don't think anyone can put their finger on it, because they had just have random development. Like, no one knew Addison Barger's name last year, and he had one of the biggest months in baseball this year. This team is just confusing. They made a nice move picking up Sir Anthony Dominguez to help boost that bullpen, but it's the Blue Jays are going to be the Blue Jays. They're going to fail when it comes to playoff time. So I don't think they're something to worry about. I think they're just literally a hump in the road that's going to steal the AL East.
The biggest thing for me about the Blue Jays is like they didn't have a lot of pitching last year and they barely added any pitching. The only pitcher they really added was Max Scherzer, at least in their starting lineup.
But
And
does that even
then
do anything at this point?
Max Scherzer really, I mean, he's not benching like super long games. He's been fine. He's not prime Max Scherzer at all, but I don't know how their starting pitching has been able to hold up. I know their offense has been good, but their starting pitching has been holding up really well, which shocked me.
Yeah, I didn't expect that going into the season because it just, again, it didn't feel like they made a lot of moves. I do think Max Scherzer gives them that veteran presence and all of that stuff that their pitchers could use. But otherwise, I feel like it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't think their pitching staff is that great. So it's a lot of offense that you're hoping to get, honestly.
Their starting pitchers look like a 2017 baseball fan's fever dream. You have Max Fried, Jose Berríos, Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett. Like, this looks like my MLB The Show team from 2019. Like, it's just not how it's supposed to work.
I mean, whatever works works. If it's working, don't try and fix it. But I don't know how sustainable it is, especially in October, with a lot of the older guys they have in there.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't know that what they're doing is sustainable, especially for the playoffs, because you're going to find teams that are a lot more experienced, have a bit more depth, in my opinion. Also, in the AL East, you have the Red Sox. To me, a very inconsistent team. I'm not really sure what's happening up there. If I'm being honest, I don't know how they're winning games. They just are, it seems like. Their pitching has been okay. Garrett Crochet has been pretty solid for them, but other than that, their starters could probably use a bit of help. I mean, Darren Duran and Alex Bregman, Carlos Narvaez offensively have all come up big for them, but I'm not really sure again how they're doing what they're doing.
Roman Anthony looks great too. It's tough to overlook him. And Trevor Story had a nice month of July, if I'm not mistaken. But just this team is another one that you wouldn't expect, especially going into the year. I wasn't expecting much from the Red Sox, but they've just surprised everyone. And I think they're the biggest threat out of the AL East when it comes to October. I'm gonna be honest.
Part about it all is they traded Rafael Devers randomly, and they're still playing better than anyone would have expected. So I'm like, I mean, imagine what they would have done maybe if they didn't trade him, although he wasn't really willing to play anywhere except, well, third and then DH. But imagine how their offense could be now if they still had him, or if he was willing to play first or some other combination of moves.
Him playing first would have been perfect with Casas going down.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was his path. It's kind of interesting to see because I think he's still hitting pretty well for the Giants, but the Giants don't really seem like they're going anywhere down the stretch here. But somehow the Red Sox are still in second place in the AL East, and definitely postseason they always seem to come up. And as a Yankees fan, I don't want to play them in the postseason because for whatever reason, we always lose to the Red Sox. Just it happens. But yeah, it's tough being in the toughest division in baseball, and every single year it seems like the AL East is. But we can head on over to Queens. We can talk about the Mets now. The Mets at one point were in charge of the NL East. It felt like they could really run away with that division, but all of a sudden it all came tumbling back down on them. Right now they're about 5 games out of first place behind the Phillies. And I think it's hard to point to just one point where the Mets are struggling. You know, since late July, the Mets have really just had a bad performance. They have been struggling to score runs. They had a 7-game losing streak. Their pitcher's at a 4.36 ERA in, I think, 21 games since the All-Star break. So just overall, the mood in New York has been bad. They've only had one starter, David Peterson, throw a complete 6-inning start since June 7th. Franky Montas has pitched himself out of the rotation, and Sean Manaea and Kodai Senga have not been as strong as they have been. This team seems to still really believe in themselves, and at least someone does, because this team is, and I hate to say it, they're back to looking like the same old Mets that they were. This weekend they will be in Queens to take on the Mariners, and Sunday they'll be in Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League Classic. But what have you guys seen from the Mets lately? What are you guys' overall thoughts on that team?
George, if you want to go, or
It's all you.
okay. I mean, honestly, the first thing that popped in my head is it's the Clay Holmes effect, because every single year when we had Clay Holmes, it was about July where he would have an all-star season, July would hit, and he'd start, his ERA would bloom up to 9 or some crazy number, and he would start blowing games left and right. But I mean, their starting pitching has been good all season, and now it's starting to just not be sustainable anymore. I mean, they've just had a lot of starters start to not throw as many innings, having to rely on their bullpen a little more, which, I mean, they do have an excellent bullpen, especially with their deadline, adding Ryan Helsley and other pieces, but it's not sustainable to constantly use them, especially when you need a good bullpen really, really, really badly in October. And their offense hasn't seemed to keep up, even though Pete Alonso just obviously took the record for most home runs by a Met. But I mean, it just seems like they also just played the Brewers, and the Brewers have some weird devil magic where they get pitch clock violations after the play happens, or whatever devil magic they have to win 12 in a row. But the Mets just, I mean, they're starting to Met, they're starting to Clay, it's falling apart.
Is it crazy for me to say I'm not worried about the Dodgers when it comes to the National League and the Mets? The Mets, I have a feeling, are going to pull out, are going to become something similar to what the Indiana Pacers were in the NBA. They're going to be very unsuspecting, and something's just going to crack with them, and they're going to explode into a very, very complete baseball team.
I mean, that's kind of what happened last year, and they had that playoff run that got stopped by the Dodgers. But I mean, they had a lot
Yeah,
of random pieces.
and I don't think the Brewers, I don't think they're gonna make splash in October.
I
They
mean, they
might be
never
the
do.
they aren't they don't seem super they like yes, they have 12 wins in a row and they're the best team in baseball by record. When you look at their lineup, there isn't much playoff experience there. There are a couple NLDS berths, a couple wild cards there, but nothing really serious that I see when it comes to the playoff pedigree.
It's a super young team that wasn't really expected to perform like they are now, especially with like how many runs they're scoring and how much they're winning right now. I mean, they weren't expected, especially with their trade deadline, and they were really, really expected to start like even win their division with the
And
Cubs playing how they
also
were.
their bullpen is not like it's not something scary. Like I don't shake in my boots when I see Abner Uribe up on the up on the bump.
I mean,
Like,
they don't have Devin Williams anymore. That was their big piece, which
exactly.
we don't talk about Devin Williams, but
No, absolutely not.
I don't
But
know.
the scariest piece of the Brewers, I think, is Jacob Mizrowski, who is going to turn into a very Paul Skenes-esque pitcher next season when he gets a full year in the big leagues. Because when you're 6'10", 6'7", throwing 104 and a 98 mile an hour slider, like,
I do wonder how they're going to use him in the playoffs, though, because I know now they have him on a strict pitch leash or some kind of leash where he doesn't throw a ton of pitches. But I wonder how that's going to happen
they
in
might use him in like
October.
long relief, like bring him in the third inning, pitch until the seventh, something like that.
With how their bullpen is, maybe. But I mean, it obviously just depends on the situation. October, anything can happen. So.
Yeah, for sure. I think anytime you talk about a team, especially one that's as young as the Brewers is, it always comes down to just how can they actually perform. They don't have the experience, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do get far. Of course, usually the NL Central is in a super tough division this year. The Cubs are still a very good team, someone that they have to play, someone that's still always in it, but definitely something to continue to watch down the stretch. The Brewers were the first team, I think, to 70 wins, so a team that anyone might be scared of, I guess, at some point if you look at their record on paper, but I don't think when you show up to the ballpark, they're as scary as they seem. As I mentioned before, the Mets will play the Mariners this weekend. The Mariners did have a bit of a big deadline. They added Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez. Suarez has not really been that great for them. 12 games with the Mariners, one home run, six RBIs. So a bit of a far cry from the 36 home runs and 87 RBIs in 106 games with the Diamondbacks in the first half of the season. Nonetheless, the Mariners are playing well. But really, for the Mariners, you're seeing their starting pitching go long. You're seeing them be kind of elite. Luis Castillo, Brian Wu, George Kirby, and Logan Gilbert have been their primary guys over there. If the Seattle team can go deep into the playoffs, they might have an edge just because of their pitching depth. But otherwise, you'd like to see a little bit more offense from them. How do you guys think the Mariners have played? Where do you think they go from here?
I think on paper, the Mariners are the second best team in baseball, just on paper. Like when you look at their lineup, they have one of the scariest lineups. They also have, in my opinion, the best starting rotation in baseball at the moment. And when your one through four is Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, and Brian Wu, when Brian Wu is your fourth starter, that rotation is just insanity. The bullpen is great. Andrés Muñoz is a stud. He's probably a top seven closer in baseball. And then the pickups of Suarez and Naylor, two power bats with playoff experience. This team is probably the scariest, in my opinion, in the AL right now.
I mean that rotation, like you said, is just disgusting. Also, the Mariners have started to steal a ton of bases just randomly out of nowhere. Even Naylor has started to just steal a ton of bases, even though he's not the fastest guy. But that's a new part of their game that they've added, and they have the power obviously from Suarez and Raleigh. They've got just a ton of pieces that can do a lot of damage whenever you need them. And I mean, they're scary, and they're coming for the Astros right now. So it's interesting to see how that division will shake down and what'll happen with the playoff spots there. But I mean, the Mariners, they look really, really good.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's crazy to think that there's a team that's pushing the Astros right now just because in the past it's always been the Astros on top, but the Mariners without a doubt are doing that. And I think they made the right moves at the deadline that they needed to make really just to bolster that team. But we'll stick around in the West, but we'll head over to the National League. Or honestly, a classic tale as of late is playing itself out. You can stop me if you've heard this one before, but the Los Angeles Dodgers, the San Diego Padres are battling out for the one seed. In the NL West, right now the Padres are in front of the Dodgers by a game. They have a big series coming up this weekend. They will take on each other. If you look, not to talk about the deadline again, but if you look there, the Padres made the moves they were not looking for. Another second place finish in the West. course, they added Nestor Cortes to a rotation that already had Nick Pivetta, Yu Darvish, Dylan Cease, and now Michael King, who came back from injury, which is essentially for them like a deadline acquisition. They added Mason Miller to an already strong bullpen. And then they added a few other players to give them a bit more depth. But really, all the guys that they traded for that are on the roster right now have had an impact, which is exactly what the Padres were hoping for. What are your guys' thoughts before we jump into the Dodgers on the Padres right now?
This could be the year that the Padres get over the hump. Because the hump has always been the Dodgers. Like, no matter where, what it's been, the Padres have lost to the Dodgers in the division race, in the DS, in the CS, all of the above. It's always been Padres, Dodgers. And now is the time. I think Mason Miller was the one massive move that they needed to make to give Robert Suarez a little help. I know Adrian Morejon is a fantastic player, but having Mason Miller help set up for Robert Suarez or the other way around, this team is seems loaded. Michael King, the Yankees' biggest regret, in my opinion, is losing Michael King. And this team is complete. 1 through 9, people have their opinions on Luis Arraez. I don't see a problem with Luis Arraez. I love old school baseball, not Powerball. Jake Cronenworth, he can turn up at any moment. Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, a couple other guys who are still very, very productive. And of course, you have Fernando Tatis. Like, there's nothing else to say about him. He's at his best, he's the second, third best player in baseball. So I don't see anything wrong with this lineup. The Dodgers seem to have a little bit of issue with what's the word? Like, chemistry. They seem to have a chemistry issue. And it seems like there are too many big heads in that Dodger locker room. And the Padres are just clicking. And I see a very, very, very bright October for the Padres. I think they could make the CS or even make the World Series. So I have high hopes for them.
I mean, they are loaded. I think they did overpay for Mason Miller, which, I mean, wasn't necessarily a bad thing since they really did need the piece. And I think they made the right moves. And I think the Dodgers didn't make a ton of moves when they maybe should have, or they maybe should have traded away some pieces to get some more help where they need it. But I think the Padres definitely have a bright, at least future for the next few months. I mean, they have so many pieces. They have just a lot of contracts that they've had for the past few years that haven't worked out until maybe now is finally the year where all this the money that they've thrown around at a lot of different people finally clicks in and they make a deep playoff run. But I mean, this year looks like one of maybe the last years that they have with a lot of their stars that may be getting a little old. Manny Machado, I know, is kind of getting a little older, not necessarily up there in retirement, but a little bit older. But this is a big year for the Padres on whether or not they continue to buy, or maybe they slow down a little bit and see what they can develop, although they did just get rid of a ton of prospects for a lot of the pieces they traded, but
They see this year as a very, very winner go home year. Like, it's either do or die this year. You start a rebuild possibly after next year, depending on at the deadline, seeing where you are at the beginning of next year. You don't win this year, but it's a big year for the Padres. This is their biggest best opportunity that I've seen.
yeah, they definitely took the model of like go big or home, go home, essentially. I think that's what it is. After this, they're going for, they lost, yeah, a lot of prospects. So it's not about the future right now. It's about what can this team accomplish this year. And right now, they're accomplishing a lot and hopefully a lot more too. Well, the Dodgers are slumping. I guess they are human over there after all, which is crazy to think. If you think last year, the beginning of the season, since July 4th, they have posted a losing record. They've also lost their division lead. They dropped series to the Angels. A lot of their high leverage bullpen arms have been struggling, especially Greg Chynin and Alex Vesia. That has not helped their case at all. Mookie Betts is also experiencing one of the worst offensive stretches of his career, and the team is struggling to score runs with runners in scoring position. Something that I feel like we haven't really seen from them, from this team in the past few years. And I also do really think that the Dodgers needed to add at the deadline and they didn't, and they hope to rely on the team that they had in front of them. But I really think that is coming back to haunt them now. Of course, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, so I think they will still show up come the postseason. But the question now is, where do they wind up rankings wise for the postseason? Is it as the one seed? Is it as the top of the NL West, or is it as a wild card spot?
The Dodgers, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, were expected to be the number one team in baseball by a giant margin. Like, we're talking 2001, 98 Yankee, 2001 Mariners, 98 Yankees territory, like 115 win team with a ton of potential, all their pieces clicking, all the stuff that all the money they've thrown around at people, all the contracts they have. But Mookie Betts has had a really, really bad year. Freddie Freeman started the year really well, but his age is starting to catch up with him. His power has dropped quite a bit. Shohei is not stealing nearly as much as he was, I don't believe. Their pitching has struggled. They've had so many injuries. They had an 8 or 9 man rotation, but they've had 5 or 6 starters just go down. They've had so many injuries that, I mean, you can blame the injuries all you want, but regardless of how many injuries you have, you still need to show up at some point. The Dodgers, they have showed up at some moments, but I mean, the losing record since July 4th says a lot. They've started to struggle. They had, I think, an 8-game lead over the Padres at one point. Now they're back one. They were expected to be this Goliath of a team that were supposed to go back to back, even maybe start a dynasty at some point. But I mean, that just has not happened. They're far and away way below expectations, and they're not even close to what anyone would have expected for them. And it's insane to see, and not even adding anything at the deadline when you have clearly not reached expectations is a little crazy for me if I was a Dodgers fan, which I'm obviously not, absolutely not. But I don't know, the Dodgers have really just not shown up. I'm not sure what has happened since the beginning of the season. I mean, Mookie just falling off was not obviously on anyone's bingo card, but it's something that I think will continue to haunt them. And I think the Padres, this is finally their year where they take the division, and the Dodgers don't take their division for the first time in what, 10 years?
Yeah, it's crazy that to see this team just collapse. And yes, Otani has been swinging the bat, unsurprisingly, 43 home runs, 79 ribbies, 132 hits, 148 strikeouts, which is a lot, striking out a quarter of the time. But other than that, he has been stealing bases on the same clip, and he just looks tired. Is that a good way to put it?
I
Like,
think
yeah.
so. I
It's
don't know if it's
let
the.
like looks like he doesn't have as much pep in his step. Something just seems off, like saying something seems off when someone has 43 home runs, but something just off with this team. Some could it be Dave Roberts? Something wrong with the coaching staff, but something is just off
I
with this
wonder if
team.
the Ohtani thing comes from the fact that last year wasn't pitching at all. This year, you kind of see him starting to get back to that. Is that something that's weighing on him? I'm not sure if it really is, but that could just be one small reason. But I think the team as a whole looks a little tired. This weekend, the Padres will have Michael King, Dylan Cease, and Yu Darvish throw in that order against, I believe it's Clayton Kershaw, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow. They have some really good pitchers over there this weekend. Will definitely be a series that you want to watch, a series that could define
For
the
sure.
postseason, how this all goes. But that will just about do it for us here today on Nosebleeds alongside George Skoufetakis and Derek Folio. I'm Alex Diaz. Thanks for tuning in. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.